Okay, hello everybody. Back for another episode of common challenges that we see clients and prospects facing when it comes to generating leads. So let's kick it off. You know, anything in the last 4 weeks that stuck out to you, Karen, that we're seeing on the market?
One thing that keeps coming up over and over again is content. And as Google continues to update its algorithms, people are seeing an impact on their traffic. What it comes down to is quality content is something that Google is insisting on, and that where there may have been workarounds before to sort of do a little keyword stuffing or maybe just a glossary page or something to drive traffic, it's no longer being rewarded. They want also engagement. So it can't just be keyword stuff traffic and you can expect leads to come from that and Google will drive people to your page. If you want to be found on Google, you really have to get the content right.
And especially with all of this AI, generative AI coming out, the type of content that we see, not all the time, but frequently, is like someone put something in a Word doc. Maybe they did keyword research on it to help Google understand what they're talking about and align it with searchers. But then it's like they paste it on the blog and, oh, we did content. The bar is only getting higher. You got to have helpful content, put a thesis in there. Don't bury the lead, all these kind of things. So put imagery, infographics, the bar is just getting higher. So yeah, that's a good point. Why do you think people continue to make the same mistake with their content? What's behind that?
You said a lot of important takeaways in that last section, and don't bury the lead is one of them. But I think maybe the most important thing that you said is to get aligned with search intent. This happens everywhere. Like, B2B, consumer, everyone does this. You sit around a table with people who all understand exactly what they're talking about, and you start to use internal language, and then you take that internal language and put it for your like external marketing. And what a mistake. What you have to do is find out what people are searching for and then align it with what you're selling. It's like that old saying, like, people don't really want a drill. They want a hole in their wall to hang the picture of their family. So instead of talking about features and benefits and colors of the drill, which is what a lot of people do, that people don't, I don't care if the drill is yellow or black or blue. I just want the solution to my problem. And I think that that mismatch of what you're selling and what people are searching for is where so many companies fall down.
Once you get to that very basic thing, like let's align with a searcher, it's an exercise in almost conversion rate optimization. You're not always looking for a conversion on a blog, but the stuff at the top needs to hook them in, and then the next stuff has to be interesting, and the next part has, and then those keywords at the very top have to be aligned with searcher intent. The next heading too, that needs to be aligned with, and it needs to convey value. You can't just write things and get around in a committee, like you're saying, and then hope that Google picks it up. I mean, you can, but that's just not effective.
You made another great point there about just the user experience. What once they get there, like I have a background in writing. I love to write. I could write thousands of words and just a huge block, and people don't want that anymore. Everybody searches the same way that you and I do. You go and go to a page and it's like, whoo, that's a lot. Well, maybe I'll come back to it. People never do. You really have to have like those headlines and those H2s. Like you have to let people understand what you're saying in a second. And then that's a great, you're right. That's a great option for conversions. If you're offering them something else of value, like you wanted to learn about this and we're providing helpful content, great. Would you like a little bit more? Would you like to download an ebook or a white paper or a checklist or something else of value in exchange for email address? That's a good way to start the conversation versus you pop to a page and you just see a block of text and maybe a learn more, which doesn't really tell you what you're going to get. One of the things I learned working with you, Seth, is, man, that button has to tell you what you're going to get when you click it. Don't be clever. Don't do things people don't like. What am I going to get? I don't want to click on it. And then until I know what happens on the other side of the click.
Clarity always beats out creativity, or at least for the most part, and expectations management too. That's just such an important thing, not only from an SEO standpoint, but it's like arts and crafts marketing where, oh, we produced a video, but okay, what's the strategy behind it? So we produced a blog, but the last time you read a blog or an article, did you really know who the company was? Like even just a little thing at the end saying, oh, this is who we are and what we do. And if you're interested, click here, or some other way to capture attention or a CTA ebook, white paper, or something like that is great. But at the very least, at the bottom, summarize a little bit about who you are and what you do so that the reader might be like, oh yeah, let's check out this company and then maybe come back to them. So you have to think about your blogs and the content you're producing.
And then you do the heavy lifting of creating original content from scratch, whether it's a blog or videos has a bigger lift. It's like, okay, and then what? You're just going to plug it on your site? Or if it's a video, does it have subtitles? Can you chop it up into little pieces and use it on social? I like to think for every piece of original content, if you could reuse it five ways, that's ideal. And it might be newsletter, website, social. There's lots of different ways to do what makes sense for you. But man, once you spend all that time creating it, don't just set it and forget it.
Repurpose, repurpose, and automate some of that too, if you can. Budget allocation for some of these things, content, that maybe that's part of the reason why we're seeing some of this. Do you think that's part of it? Or maybe it's just connecting the dots for management to help them understand the ROI on content. Why do these big companies still paste Word docs into their blogs?
I think original content is expensive because if you're going to have it created from scratch using subject matter experts, it's going to take probably 7 to 10 hours for a decent blog. That's a lot of time out of someone's day, whether it's internal resources or external. You can use some of the tools out there for scaling. ChatGPT, we found, is good for things like outlines and for helping to sort that out. It's not there yet for doing the content. You could have it draft the content, but we found we still need a human to do that. But that does shave some hours off of the time and makes it a little bit more efficient. So it helps to scale. And then turning it back, connecting the dots with ROI, there's lots of good tools out there. Google's Looker Studio, HubSpot, lots of tools that can track how many visitors you get to your site and how many conversions, do the attribution all the way through. So you could see like, okay, we put up a piece of content about Google's helpful content update. And then we got this many visitors, led to this many leads, led to this many sales conversations, led to this many deals. You could track that and you could see what's performing and what's not. And there are tools to help to see that if you've got old existing content that might be strong. And if that content is decaying, like Google doesn't like it if you just, they don't like the set it and forget it. You need to give it little updates, even whether they're big or small, to just continually care and feeding of your content will pay off. And you could check that in the data. Like, don't take my word for it. Look at your data.
Some of these companies are like, oh, it's going to be such an expense to do content. Well, you've probably already written content that you could go back and refresh, and that would at least save you some time and some money. But also, I think it's expectations management on, hey, you're creating this asset. If you do spend money and create really good content, this is kind of a renewable asset. It's a compounding asset. As a decision maker, exec, CEO, whatever, you have to value content appropriately and good content appropriately, right? And understand the difference between something someone just cranked out with no strategy in a Word doc or even via AI with no keyword strategy, anything, and really well thought out good content. You just have to understand what that can do and how that can totally pivot your business. People Google for things all the time. It's just sound like a broken record sometimes. You talk about all this stuff all the time, but people need to understand.
And I love that you call it a business asset versus a blog or a service page or something, because people who are outside of marketing maybe think of content as like arts and crafts, like, oh, isn't that nice? And isn't that pretty or attractive or something that sales can use to get the job done? But if you strategically think of it as an asset, sometimes just naming things correctly really helps people understand what it is rather than just like a blog. This is a content asset that's going to be used to drive business. And then to not just, okay, naming it is a good first step, but then like to strategically go through, understand what the keywords are, understand what the search intent is, develop a piece, and then test, measure, iterate, make sure it's continuing to deliver for you. That's really important. That's great advice for any corporate marketer out there. Like, call it an asset rather than something that's just content or words or something that doesn't sound like something that'll have a return on investment.
Reminding execs and other stakeholders that, hey, these things can actually generate leads. Like, we've got several blog articles that are consistent generators of leads, you know, where we put a lot of time into them. They're ranking well. They've got good CTAs, good, valuable next actions for people to take from that blog. Oh, I want to learn more. Download the PDF, download the ebook, whatever it is. Download the scorecard. These things drive business. They're not just for fun. They're not just arts and crafts, if done right.
We have certain blogs out there that we started with people's pain points. Like, what are they searching on? What are their challenges as marketing leaders in their organization? Once we understood that, we developed content around that. Not necessarily what we're trying to sell, like WordPress or content development, but what their problems are. And man, those blogs are the gifts that keep on giving. Like, people come to us, they know our name, they listen to our podcast, they come to our events, and then they want to do business with us because they know that it works. And we track all of that. And data is such a gift for marketers, rather than, oh, the CEO wants this, or the sales manager wants something else, and the marketing leader thinks they're both wrong. Well, guess what? Let's go to the data. Let's let the data decide.
Anything else in particular from prospects in the last 4 weeks that seemed to stick out? I feel like it's been a lot of content SEO, but...
Yeah, it is. And you know, content is super important, but by itself, it's like a one-legged stool. Like, it has to be good content written for humans, but it also has to meet them. It also has to have the SEO in order, so it meets people where they're searching. And then you can't just slap it up there. The third part is the UX. The shopping experience online matters. People don't want to look at walls of text. Like, if you open it up, it's like, oh, it's overwhelming. You don't want people to be overwhelmed or underwhelmed. Just regular amount of whelmed. They receive information. They understand what they're looking at. They could process it in a second. That's great. One tip that I learned somewhere along the way is, like, any page that you put up, any writing that you do, it's great to write for the 1 second reader, the 1 minute reader, and the 5 minute reader. So in like 1 second, you've got to absorb what it's about. In the 5 seconds, the headlines and the graphics have to tell the story. And then the 5 minute reader is going to somebody's going to read every word on the page. And that's the goal.
I guess one final thing I'll say about blogs, since we're on the topic, is sometimes we'll use them in the sales process, you know, talking about the problems that people are having or the thought leadership that we bring to the table. They can be valuable sales assets too. You don't always have to think of them as inbound assets, but sales enablement or things to help the buyer along the journey that salespeople can use.
Nobody wants to be sold to, but like, sometimes you just need help. You need help with something. That's why you're talking to a salesperson. You don't want the hard sell or the hard close. You just want help. And that's what the blogs and other content can do. It's perfect.
Well, thanks so much for your time, Karen. Good stuff today. And we'll talk again 4 weeks from now.
It's fun. Thanks. Bye.